Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
It's that time of day, my friends. Good morning. Healthy, happy Saturday to you in the pouring rain, but that's okay. All right. One of the great myths, one of the great mistakes in medicine, which is sure to change, one of the great hoaxes, although I don't want to point the finger at anybody, is this issue with cholesterol and the statin drugs. And I'm not going to get accusatory. I'm simply going to try to lay down the best science that we have today. But I'm going to put it on somebody else's back, a very brave heart surgeon, retired, of course. You know, you don't get the truth out of people until they retire, and that's understandable. Everybody's got to protect themselves. And in our wisdom as we age, we start to see the big picture, and we speak the truth. This is why young people have to listen to older people, because you get truth, more truth along the way. The book, the pamphlet, the e-book is called The Great Cholesterol Lie. The Great Cholesterol Lie. Why Inflammation Kills and the Real Cure for Heart Disease by Dr. Dwight Lundell. L-U-N-D-E-L-L. Get on your computers. Ever important. You're not going to buy this in Barnes & Noble. You're not going to buy it anywhere in a bookstore. But you're going to get it on the internet. Again, The Great Cholesterol Lie. Why Inflammation Kills and the Real Cure for Heart Disease by Dr. Dwight Lundell. More than lightly credentialed. Dr. Lundell is a heart surgeon. He's the guy that does the angioplasties. He's the guy that treats you after the heart attack. He's the guy that's in there when it's heavy and it's hot and your life is on the line. And he's done thousands and thousands of surgeries. His educations at Yale, etc., are impeccable. His honesty shines through this 50-page book, which you can purchase on the websites for about $50. It's worth 50 times that. Get it? It's about cholesterol. It's about the statin drugs. It's about why we're misunderstanding cholesterol. People are afraid of that word. You have high cholesterol. I think it is the single most common statement I hear across the table from people. My cholesterol's high. And they want to put me on the statin, and I'm really concerned about this. It's up there over 300. I don't want to tell you what to do. I just want to lay down a perspective here. I don't want to point the finger at anybody. I just want to ask you and have you ask yourself, after I lay out the facts, the insight, the research, I want to get you thinking in another direction. I want you to get your medical doctors thinking in another direction. Dr. Lundell is one of them. Cholesterol. If you don't have cholesterol, 50%, 50% of your cell membrane is missing. Half of your cell membrane, that all-important membrane that controls the gate to your cell, is 50% cholesterol. Cholesterol is the base for all your steroid hormones. Cortisol, aldosterone, estrogen, progesterone, they all begin with cholesterol. Dihydroepiandrosterone, DHEA, pregnenolone, they all begin with cholesterol. Cholesterol is your friend. Cholesterol, good. Inflammation, bad. You're going to see what's driving heart disease today. Vascular disease. It's not cholesterol. It's nothing to do with cholesterol. It has to do with a sequela of science that we're going to lay out over the next 50 minutes. The turn of the century, there was not much heart disease. Oh, yes, there was. We just didn't know it. What kind of a nonsense line is that? We didn't know what it was to keel over with a heart attack and dissect out plugged arteries 100, 200 years ago? Of course we did. We weren't seeing it. And where I'm going to differ a little bit with Dr. Lindell today is the fact that 100 years ago, lots of people were packing on an extra 20 or 30 or 40 pounds. The very grain eaters, the corn, the rye, so on and so forth, flours, even if they weren't processed, were still packing on by the time Grandpa hit 60. And yes, back then you were Grandpa at 60. You were still packing on an extra 20, 30, 40 pounds. You slowed up around the farm. And we still didn't see heart disease. Countries like Japan, France, the Mediterranean, thus the Mediterranean diet, didn't see and still don't see a lot of heart disease. So what's the deal? Lipitor made $12.5 billion. That is the most successful. I'm pretty sure that tops Viagra, the birth control pill. $12.5 billion last year. I think it's around $250 a month out of your pocket. And the side effects are clear. I'm not going to take the show to discuss the side effects, except one thing about the statin drugs. They cut down your CoQ10. And you can't afford that. I've seen people ravaged over a year or two. I've seen 60-year-old athletes told to go on Lipitor and other statins for high cholesterol, and within a year they can't move their legs. And it really is. You're better doctors. You're better cardiologists. Dr. Sinatra will tell you if you're on a statin drug, make sure you take CoQ10. Anybody in the know is going to tell you if you must take a statin drug, if you must take it. And again, as always, as is consistent with my perspective, I'm not telling you to do anything in the sense of you really do have to discuss this with your medical doctor. But question your medical doctor. Bring the research to him in a friendly, loving way. Ask him, cost-benefit, is this necessary? Is this worth it? Do we really understand this drugs? You have to understand that a lot of your medical doctors don't have the time to study the science. They're very busy in practice. My God, how much more do we want to squeeze out of these guys? 4 hard years in pre-med. 4 to 6 to 8 to 10 years in med school plus residency. Then all the different places you all the different places you do your residences in all over the country, that can be another 2 to 4 years. And the higher you go in that surgical hierarchy, the more time you spend before you're really left out there. And then you have to cover every single study for every single drug that's used. It's not reasonable. Medical doctors are listening to pharmaceutical sales reps. And yes, those sales reps are not terribly educated. On top of which, the chemists that make these drugs are under tremendous pressure to make the drug. So we don't want to get nasty and point fingers and start screaming, but this has slipped through the cracks, the same way Vioxx did, although not nearly as dangerous. The same way we told people that coconut oil, that opening a coconut and eating the meat, since it was a saturated fat, was dangerous for your health, and it wasn't. This is the same faux pas we're making with cholesterol. So number one, cholesterol is not bad. Your liver makes cholesterol. Your liver makes a ton of it. Your liver makes 80%, 80. It makes 80% of the cholesterol circulating in your body. And when you eat the other 20%, and the amount of cholesterol you eat goes up, the liver, if the liver is functioning correctly, makes less cholesterol. There's a check and balance system. What a concept. The body's got a self-regulating system for cholesterol. That's the point. The body is a self-regulating system. Another example is vitamin D. Oh, don't go out in the sun too much because the vitamin D will just increase, and at some point vitamin D is toxic and you'll get sick. The body shuts off its production of vitamin D when the amount of vitamin D gets too big. That's if you're in the sun. The body's got lots of natural systems, and if those natural systems are in working order, it's very hard to create imbalance. I think that's fascinating about cholesterol. 80% of it your liver makes. If it was so bad, what was your liver making it for? And we know what it does. All your endocrine system, 50% of your cell membranes, tons of other things. And if your liver makes too much, or if your body ingests too much because you go on an egg kick, or you start eating large amounts of shellfish, the liver just makes less to compensate. So what's the big to-do about cholesterol? What's the issue here? Okay, let's get to work. Now we're going to lay down the science. Again, hear the show again, straighttalk.cc. That's two C's, not .com.cc. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. The book that I'm leaning on today for you, because then you can read this, what is it, 70-60-page book, The Great Cholesterol Lie, Why Inflammation Kills and the Real Cure for Heart Disease, Dr. Dwight Lundell, heart surgeon, par excellence. Let's get to the science. Now, in your bloodstream, in your body, you've heard the term immune system. That's a variety of cells. It's like a team of martial artists. And each of those martial artists has a different job to do. Each of those martial artists is part of a team. And they each do something different, even though they overlap. And one of these cells is called a macrophage. Macrophage. Macrophage is a big, mean pit bull. It's the cleanup man. It's the bouncer in the pub. It goes after everything. If you're not supposed to be there, it eats you. If you're dead and dying, it eats you. Whatever's not supposed to be circulating, sooner or later, even after other immune cells get into the fight, the macrophage comes in and cleans up. The macrophage is like a combination of the demolition system and the big trucks that take it away to the sanitation department. They're the cleanup crew. And your macrophages circulate, and they do a funny thing. When they see your low-density lipoproteins, your LDLs. Now, again, I'm going to refer to something that a lot of you have seen on your cardiac panels when you get your blood tests. Just your general physical at Kaiser, nothing complicated. You see your HDLs, high-density lipoproteins, lipoprotein. That's a fat protein complex. LDL, low-density, HDL, high-density. Cholesterol. The cholesterol is a combination of your HDL and your LDL. So really, when I say low-density lipoproteins, I mean what we call the bad cholesterol. You're about to learn why the LDL, the bad cholesterol, the one that gives you the heart attack, is really the tiniest player in this sequence I'm about to lay down. Always has been, always will be. We've got the science to argue this, and we've got the medical anthropology. I mean, what are all those big fat Eskimos and Polynesians 100 years ago and Americans 150 years ago? What were they doing with very little heart disease? So anyway, we take this. But hear the story. Hear this story. The macrophage, doing its job, meets the LDL, the low-density lipoprotein. And the issue, of course, is that in the presence of high insulin, now I'm bringing something else in, insulin, carbs, carbs bad. Here are my 44 shows. We've been saying this a long time. The carbohydrate is bad because it spikes the insulin. So the macrophage, when it sees the LDL, the bad cholesterol supposedly, which isn't really bad, because the LDL is swimming in high insulin, because the carb diet prevails, the LDL slightly changes its chemical composition. The LDL flags itself. It's like if your car at night on the freeway, driving home to your sweet little house on the prairie, and you decided to tint your windows or put flashing lights on your car or put some abusive sign on it, and the police pulled you over. You flagged yourself. You changed your car to make yourself noticeable in a negative way. And that's what happens to the low-density lipoprotein, to the bad cholesterol, which isn't bad. That's what happens to it in the presence of high insulin. Something in the insulin reacts with the LDL. And now the LDL is a menace to society, and the macrophage sees it. And the macrophage attacks it. That's what macrophages are supposed to do. That's what the police department's supposed to do. They're supposed to scan the freeway, look at cars and faces and people, and if they see something suspicious, they pull it over and check it out. And if it's even more suspicious, they take the appropriate action. That's the way the game works on the freeway. That's the way the game works in your bloodstream. Isn't that beautiful? It's beautiful to me. It's not beautiful if it's happening to you, though. Because once the macrophage starts attacking what's really just an innocent piece of cholesterol, a chemical's produced. It's called a cytokine. A cytokine. C-Y-T-O. Like cytosol. Cytokine. C-Y-T-O-K-I-N-E. Once this chemical, cytokine, is produced in this macrophage attack, cytokine makes everything sticky. Cytokine makes everything sticky. Now, another thing you don't know is, when we say there's an immune system attack, hooray, get out the flag, the immune system is attacking and it's doing what it's supposed to do. What we don't realize is it's not that simple. The immune system, when it attacks something, often dies itself in the process, meaning the macrophage ultimately dies. We see this all the time in the dark field microscope. We watch white blood cells attacking big pieces of yeast, big chunks of metal. Under the microscope, you can watch this. When we use fungus, when you have fungus in the blood, you can view the immune system, white blood cells and otherwise, attacking the fungus. The fungus is much bigger. And under the microscope, blown up, and not that much, maybe 100, 200 times, blown up, you can see this great big congested plaque of fungus and lots of white blood cells, or fatty plaque and lots of white blood cells. And they're all mixed together in this great big congestive, and a lot of those immune system cells at that point are dead. And this is what happens. The macrophage dies. And the macrophage is already sticky because it's produced the cytokine. And the macrophage attacked the cholesterol because the cholesterol was swimming in high insulin. It wasn't the fat, it was the carbs once again. And once this macrophage dies, now we go into a full-blown inflammatory response. Other chemicals come in. And this turns into one big mess. So when you're in your 20s and you're still an athlete and you're still sprinting those 440s on the track and you're still not overweight and you're still feeling good and you're still dreaming about your world and all the things you're going to do, when you're in there and you're in your 20s already, the inside of your arteries are developing what we call fatty streaks. Fatty streaks, S-T-R-E-A-K-S. Meaning there are these little runway lines. There are these little inflammatory lines. And these lines of dugout tissue on the inside of the artery are already starting to show through. Even when you're 20 years old, this happens. So this inflammatory response that ultimately, as we will progress now, becomes heart disease when you're in your 50s or 60s or 70s, it's beginning in the form of fatty plaques, fatty streaks. Now, what happens as more and more macrophages, in the presence of these sticky cytokines, which of course initiates because you keep eating those carbs, as more and more of those macrophages die, you start to form this big cholesterol macrophage plaque. And those plaques may even be calcific, so they get hard. They may be fatty plaques, or they may be fatty calcific plaques, fatty plaques with calcific shells, calcium. That calcium precipitating out of solution for another show we discussed. So you see how you got to put it all together here? You can do this. So what? You listen to two or three of the shows two or three times. You can do this. Get this book. You can understand this. This is made for you. Then you'll understand why garlic and cayenne and sulfur-based herbs. You can understand why ginkgo. You can understand why turmeric. You can understand why sweating. You can understand why natto. You can understand why the omega-3s, docosahexaenoic acids. You can understand what these things are really doing. I think that's wonderful. I think that's the future. I think that's a healthier future. And I think everybody that's interested in money can make more money getting people healthy than they can in their hearts just supervising people as they rot away from heart disease. It is still the number one killer, I believe, in the United States. Cancer close on its trail. But heart disease is simple to understand. Cancer is not. We transplanted the heart. That was the first transplant we did. You know why? Because it's, and any cardiologist or heart surgeon will tell you, it's just a mechanical pump. It's not that complicated. It's precocious. It's the first guy on the street to start screaming arrhythmias, tachycardias, feeling of pounding, sure. It's precocious, but it's really simple. It's just a mechanical pump. It's the first thing we figured out. Nobody should be getting this stuff. And mind you, I'll give you a little hint that you're not going to hear about. It's straight out of iridology. Iridology, which, by the way, my class tomorrow will be studying the eye. We'll be breaking it down. We'll be looking for simple, easy things that the public can see in each other's eyes that tell them what's going on. And one of these things is called the arcus senilis. A-R-C-U-S. Senilis, as in senile. S-E-N-I-L-I-S, arcus senilis. When you look at somebody and around the circumference of their iris, that's the colored part of your eye, around the circumference of the iris, there's a white ring. You're placking up somewhere. Maybe the brain, maybe the heart, maybe the legs. But it's called an arcus senilis. Look it up in iridology, which, of course, not too many believe or understand. But in Germany, a place that really studies the body holistically, it's very respected. Arcus senilis, look it up as long as we're talking about heart, because we're looking for signs long before you're in your 60s. We're talking like when you're in your 40s. Signs that this is on the way, that your HDL, LDL, cholesterol, C-reactive protein, so on and so forth, aren't going to pick up. But we'll get to some of that in a moment. So, all these macrophages are dying in this war as they attack the LDL cholesterol because it's been remodeled in the presence of high insulin, and the cytokine is making this one sticky goo. Cytokine is produced by the macrophage. One sticky goo, and that sticky goo begins as a fatty streak, and then it starts to become a plaque, a more prominent buildup, and that may be a calcific plaque. Now, what happens over time, sooner or later, for a variety of biomechanical and chemical reasons, is that big plaque hemorrhages. It ruptures. The plaque ruptures. And all the goo squirts out from this sort of sedated plaque. The body sends to sequester, sedate, compartmentalize the plaque. But sooner or later, as the plaque builds up, it just ruptures. It squirts out the more liquid part of itself. How it's sequestered or contained, it's no longer contained when it's ruptured. Its shell breaks. And underneath the shell, it's like if you broke the skin on your pudding. The gooey stuff underneath the skin of the pudding oozes out. And when that happens, it initiates the clot response. Your body has to make a clot. It responds that way. So your body starts going into this multifactorial process called the clot response. How does the body form a clot? Clot versus what? Lump of fat. The fatty pus that squirts out now is going to initiate a blood clot. Now you're adding a blood clot to the big lump of fat. And if your body is very prone to the clot response, meaning if it's got other issues within the blood itself that are going to make that blood gooier than normal, distinct from the fatty plaque, you're going right into an occlusion. An occlusion, then, is when all this big, fat, clotty blood, plus the fat oozed out from the ruptured plaque, plugs up an artery somewhere. And that artery can be anywhere. It can be to the lung, thus a pulmonary embolism. It can be to the brain, thus a stroke. It can be to a small, tiny artery in the brain, thus, a transient ischemic attack. It can be to a blood vessel to the leg. And so the only time you really notice it is when you run. When you run, you get this horrendously painful cramp. It's called intermittent claudication. Or it could just plug up a vein. A venous thrombosis down there in those, veins of the calf, the deep veins of the calf, the lower leg. We're always looking for that venous thrombosis. And these things, again, can easily be combinations of ruptured fatty plaque in conjunction with blood, blood that's too thick. And you know, if you've listened to this show, about thick blood. We're always wanting to thin the blood. Don't wait to thin your blood until it's too late, and then you've got to go on warfarin, Coumadin, Plavix, and we keep coming up with new ones every single day. God bless the great American mind. But the fact of the matter is, before you get to this crisis state, and again, if you're in a crisis state, listen to your medical doctor. Do you understand? In a crisis state, do not be messing around with holistic medicine. In a crisis state, do not be messing around with holistic medicine. Nutritional advice to keep your body in a preventative state. Once you're in crisis, you got to do what you got to do. But herbs thin blood. If you're on Coumadin, the first thing they'll tell you is don't do garlic. Don't do ginkgo. Why? Because any book you read on herbs or pharmaceuticals will tell you garlic will thin your blood. Of course, if you have a friendly medical doctor, you can use garlic to lower your Coumadin. Because the prothrombin time will get to the level that everybody wants it to be based on that garlic-Coumadin combination. But you have to do this under a supervised medical facility. And some will do it and some won't. We have cardiologists all over the country that are talking this way now. Dr. Lindell is one of them. Dr. Steven Sinatra is a second one. They're out there. There's the book Bypassing Bypass. Bypassing Bypass by Elmer Cranston. There's another one. And we have clinics throughout the United States that do chelation therapy run by internists and cardiologists because they're trying to melt plaque rather than do those expensive surgeries. You don't want to go the way that poor Bill Clinton went. Bill Clinton was a healthy, healthy man. And I guess in a sense, it's wonderful now that he's had the surgery, but that surgery takes its toll, and we can all see that on him. So if you have an emergency, you have an emergency, but you can use herbs, you can use nutrition, and we're going to get to a little bit more of this, to thin the blood so it's less likely to clot or clot as fast in the presence of some big ruptured lump of fat that comes off a plaque. That plaque that's built up from a fatty streak. That fatty streak that started because in the presence of high insulin, thus the carb diet that you're not supposed to do much of, the HDL, the LDL, the bad cholesterol that's not really bad, looks bad to the macrophage. So the macrophage attacks it. The macrophage makes its cytokine, which is sticky. The macrophage, the cytokine, the LDL all die in one entangled brew, and that slams onto the inside of your artery. And then if you've inflamed the heck out of your artery because you've smoked or you've had bad infection or you have an interference field, all the more reason why the inside of that artery rots out. And once it rots out and divots and is no longer smooth, you're going to build up plaque. And that plaque may calcify. Now, what does this have to do with cholesterol? It's got a lot more to do with insulin. It's got a lot more to do with insulin. It's got a lot more to do with bad nutrition, and we'll get to that in a second. It's got a lot more to do with the fact that the blood, for reasons that have nothing to do with plaque, the blood was far too thick. All those blood-thinning oils and herbs to be found in nature, in divine nature, are not circulating in your body. Not to mention that we're not moving our blood. We're not moving our blood. We're not stretching our tendons and moving our bodies to make sure that we get circulation into all parts of our body. There's a whole, now I'll complicate it a little more, there's a whole biomechanical, a whole pumping action that occurs when the body's flexible. Is your body flexible, or have you not moved off your chair for the better part of the day in the last 10 years? Wondering why you're building plaque, being concerned with stroke, heart attack, and joining the masses in what today is the number one cause of death in the United States today. There really is a concept here that if the body's flexible, so I'm not pointing to cholesterol, nor is Dwight Lundell, nor is the Inuit of Alaska. Nor are the Greeks of Crete, excuse me, the Cretans, the people who live on the island off Greece. Nor are the Mediterraneans pointing to cholesterol and the fat. But exercise? Why exercise? Because exercise moves the blood. It's tougher to make a clot, which will ultimately combine with the fat and create the occlusion. It's tougher to make that clot when the blood is moving. And when the tissues are flexible, the arteries become flexible. We never thought of that, did we? We never thought that when you really get flexible in the hands and feet and thighs and spine, that you're pulling the arteries. If you take an artery, in a healthy person out of their body, and you tie one end of it up, you ligate it, so to speak, and you blow into the other end, it's going to blow up like a balloon. It's an elastic muscular wall. It's a beautiful piece of engineering. That elasticity in the artery means before you initiated a clot, if you could get in there and stretch that artery out, you'd never have the clot, even if you had the disposition towards the clot. Even if you had the fat in there, you wouldn't have the clot. Stretch your arteries? What's that? That makes no sense to me. I can't fathom stretching an artery. You've got to get the education. Go on to the internet and watch people in Pilates, in stretch classes, in American yoga classes. Watch them stretch their body. And understand that as they stretch into those poses you see them stretch into, you're stretching your arteries. Back bend. That's a gymnastic stretch. Don't talk to me about yoga. Gymnasts do this stretch, back bend. Cheerleaders do this stretch, back bend, where you pull open your sternum. Do you know what that's doing for your coronary arteries in your 20s as you stretch out in back bend and take a good deep breath? Flexibility stretches arteries. Much more difficult to build up a clot, even if you have a ruptured fatty plaque. So why are we focusing on the cholesterol? With drugs that have side effects. That's the point of the book. That's what we've all been saying now for at least, in my memory, 30, 40 years. And where was our common sense? Where was our common sense when we looked at the big fat Eskimo? Eskimos are not fat, but they pack on an extra 20, 30 pounds. They got a thick layer of blubber on them. So do the Polynesians. Oh, yeah, that guy from Polynesia, wherever that is. I know that guy. That guy's got, he had a heart attack. Sure he did. He had a heart attack because he's living in Long Beach. He's eating Taco Bell because the poor guy just doesn't understand. He gave up a traditional way of life that allowed him to be an extra 20 or 30 pounds heavier. And yet there was no problem with plaque because he moved, he danced, he got his sunshine, he lived in harmony with nature. And all those things vibrate literally into your arteries. And they work against stasis of blood. A clot is stasis of blood. And the inflammatory process, well, what inflammatory process? Because if you study traditional diets, they don't cause insulin spikes. Even if they do some grain, they don't cause insulin spikes because the grain is so raw. The grain is so right out of the ground. The grain is so unprocessed. And there's a lot less grain. Be sure about that. This meat fat diet, it's in Lindell's book. Lindell, as a heart surgeon now, is talking the same talk. So let's cross-reference. Remember Jared Diamond's book? The Third Chimpanzee, Chapter 8, Agriculture's Mixed Blessings. Check out Lecture 6 on animal protein and its virtues. Talks about the hunter-gatherer diet. Carbs are dead. Grains are dead. If we didn't close this case from the anthropological standpoint, exhuming skeletons pre-agrarian, back when we were hunter-gatherer, I have no doubt in the Garden of Eden we were not farming. I have no doubt we were not farming in the Garden of Eden. We were eating it right off the tree, fresh and vibrant. And the point to you is this. The point is, from the anthropological standpoint, thus Jared Diamond's work, to something like this from a guy that spent 40, 50 years of his life cutting open chests. He's saying in his book, get rid of the grains. Go hunter-gatherer. Even with the good grains, the insulin spike, your fat, your cholesterol cannot exist correctly in the presence of higher levels of insulin. So why are we pointing at cholesterol when it's insulin? Why are we pointing at cholesterol when it's grains? Why are we pointing at cholesterol when we're not flexible? Why are we pointing at cholesterol when we're not moving? Why are we pointing at cholesterol when, if we don't stretch our bodies? And why are we pointing at cholesterol when our blood can thin out just with herbal medicine, just with food into the body? And I haven't even gotten to the omegas yet. I haven't even gotten to the omegas. So let's get to the omegas. Not the omega-6s, right? The omega-6s are pro-inflammatory. Guess where you get the omega-6s? Grains. Vegetable oils. Not good. It's the omega-3s. The omega-3s are in fish. They're in dairy. Raw dairy. Raw. Unpasteurized. Do you have this figured out? If you're listening to this show, what is it, about 3,000, 4,000 people listening to this show? Do you have this straightened out in your mind? Are you going to walk into an office this week and get involved in that absolutely pathetic conversation about, my doctor told me I have high cholesterol? Are you going to do that after listening to this show? If you're going to do that, don't listen to the show anymore. I got to tell you, it's been 44 shows. We're not making this stuff up. Now, the omegas, omega-3s, you know what they do? They put those cytokines to rest. They shut them up. They prevent the stickiness, the Velcro effect, as it's put in Lundell's book. They minimize that stickiness, so it makes it much tougher for the fatty streak and the fatty plaque to build up. Right there, you've got it. Right there, the fish oils. DHA, docosahexaenoic acid. The omega-3s. From what? From bottles or from the food? From the fishes. From the wild, clean fishes that you can still get. Ingested as ceviches. Ingested as sushis. Or I should say sashimis. And don't worry about a little bit of carbohydrate. That's the other thing. You talk like this on air and people get religious about it. You don't need to get religious. Minimize those carbs. So what one day a week you have pizza? So what? So what you travel to Europe and you eat all the pasta? So what? What you do 80 to 85% of your time dictates your health. What you do 15% of the time doesn't usually hurt your health within reasonable limitations. It's not that 15%. It's the other 85%. It's the daily habit. What you're not even thinking about that you consider the normal thing to do every single day, that's what kills you. Not that party around the holidays. Not gaining 10 pounds over the holidays and then losing them early March. Now, a study that we did, you're going to hear this referred to in Lindell's book, called the Framingham study. Framingham. The most influential, this is written by a guy in the know, And this is what he puts in page 25 of his book. The most influential and respected investigation into heart disease is the Framingham study. And this is where we need to drill back down to simple facts. So on and so forth, so on and so forth. Read it yourself. And this is where we end up. The hypothesis, however, depends on the presence of a strong direct association of fat intake with coronary disease. In other words, the hypothesis was that if you had a lot of fat, LDL, you'd have coronary disease. Since we found no direct link, no direct association, competing mortality from coronary heart disease is very unlikely to explain our results. There is, in short, no suggestion of any relation between diet and the subsequent development of chronic heart disease in the study group. This study, on every angle that you can understand it, considered one of the bulwarks, one of the basic foundational things that launched all this cholesterol stuff, never showed with women that it made any difference, and only marginally with men. There were six other studies. Lundell lists them in the book to the same effect. We've never, ever, ever pinned cholesterol to coronary heart disease. Not in any way with women, and in a barely significant way with men. And if you get into the science of it, as I've just laid it down, you can understand exactly why. Now, nutrition for the heart. To ensure that the blood, you've heard of turmeric, it's a blood thinner. You've heard of garlic, it's a blood thinner. Find supplementation that has these things in it. You've heard of natto kinase. That's fermented soy. The Japanese are masters at turning this into tasty little brews, putting them on different types of other dishes to enhance flavor. Natto kinase. Do you know that the probiotic bacteria in raw aged cheese like the French, thin the blood also? Garlic thins the blood. Turmeric thins the blood. Probiotics, when the ecology down in the gut is powerful, when you supplement it with aged fermented foods, cheese is a famous one. It did much for the French. Guess what? Your blood stays thinner. When you bring in lots of fish, oh, but what about the metals in the fish? Be concerned about the metals in the air. Be concerned about the metals occupationally. Be concerned about the mercury vapor coming off fluorescent lights. Be concerned about the metal in your water. Be concerned about the metals in the cosmetics and the conditioners and the shampoos that you're soaking into your scalp. You're giving yourself an IV of metal every day with the garbage you put on your skin, from soap to hairspray to conditioner to eyeliner to the rest of it, to the tattoos. Oh, but what about the metals in the fish? Where? Do you ever go on a cruise and you're out there in the middle of the Pacific where the tuna live and the halibut? We haven't ruined it yet that bad. We may. Hopefully we won't. But there's still a lot of relatively clean wild fish. Halibut, yellowtail, tuna, three big ones. Wild salmon, four big ones. Poach them. Steam them. Ceviche them. Do them raw. Don't broil them at 400 degrees. Don't do that. It takes away from the effect of the omega-3s to sedate the cytokine. The cytokine is what makes it all sticky. Without the cytokine, we'd probably get away with this mess. But the macrophage, when it's engaged, it squirts out a chemical, a protein molecule called the cytokine. The omega-3s squash that effect. That's why they're so important. Can you see why? Where do you vegetarians get your omega-3s from? Where? Forgot that one. And do you think the vegetarians, the grain eaters, would have higher insulin spikes than the meat eaters? Think about this. Once again, we've got it all wrong. We had it backwards. How many things in medicine have we had backwards? Certainly it must be much. Our levels of chronic disease in this country are unprecedented. We're doing something wrong, and we're Americans, and Americans don't do things wrong. They gather diverse perspectives and come up with something better. Beginning with the Framingham study, check the book. We've been wrong about this. Creases in the ear. Do you have a crease in your ear? Now, this isn't law, but this is something you look for. The body gives off little signs of heart disease on the way. If you stick your tongue out and your tongue is crooked, it goes off to the side, and you have high blood pressure because your arteries are plaqued. That's called wind, liver wind. Often liver wind becomes a stroke. Not always. So don't flip if that crooked tongue is you. But put it into the equation. The art of medicine, the art of diagnostics, has much to do with looking at people in ways that people aren't normally attuned to. Now, if you don't want to go to the crooked tongue, look underneath your tongue. Go ahead and do it. Get a mirror. Go into a well-lit room, but sunlight, not white fluorescent or yellow light. And not directly in the sun, in the off shadow, but bright enough so you can see under your tongue. And if those veins there are big and blue and bulging, your blood is way too thick. Do something about that. Notice when you go out and you work out, you exercise, the blueness goes away. It decreases. And you ought to be doing whatever you do to make sure that the veins underneath that tongue don't stay blue. And if you've got the arcus senilis, that's that white ring around the circumference of the iris. You take a look at that, and you factor that into those blue veins under the tongue, to the fact that you're not exercising, to the fact that your blood pressure is a little high, to the fact that your tongue is crooked, to the fact that your tongue is fiery red on the sides and on the tip, to the fact that you're under a lot of stress, and you start putting this together so you don't become part of the statistics because you listen to this show and other shows. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is straighttalk.cc, two C's, and .com, not .cc. We've still got about 10 spaces left for my March 25th school. The 18th one, which is tomorrow, is closed out. We're going to get into all sorts of things in deep detail. We are moving the ball with education. You can do this. This is my sentiment to us all. It is almost ludicrous to sit across a table and counsel people about their health without sending them to school. We need to change the model. You need to come to my school. Call Clem Alita, 310-320-1132. All right. A recap. One more time, and then maybe you don't have to listen to this again. Until the 1930s and 40s, we didn't have heart disease. Not really. And even today, in the outback, where there are low-carb diets, when we eat the fats, those LDLs that we fear, the macrophages, look at them. And in the presence of high insulin, the macrophage will attack the LDL, the cholesterol. And that releases the cytokine. And the cytokine makes everything sticky. And once it's sticky, it starts to form a fatty streak, which becomes a fatty plaque. And now we've got this full-blown inflammatory cascade. And once this fatty plaque ruptures, pus squirting out, dead macrophages, cholesterol squirts out and starts floating in your blood, we begin to clot. the body lays down a cascade. It drops a fibrin web. A blood clot combines with the fat plaque, and this can create an occlusion anywhere in the body. To stop this, lower your insulin and change your diet. To stop this, bring in the omega-3s. Get rid of the omega-6s. To stop this, take and do plants that thin the blood, from garlic to turmeric to natto kinase. To stop this, get flexible. To stop this, exercise. And understand that all the focus on the cholesterol has been misappropriated. It's never been the cholesterol. The Framingham study that everybody stands upon and all the subsequent studies never really pointed to the cholesterol. So where did this come from? I leave this for you to figure out. You have some work to do. Ask yourself, where did this focus on the cholesterol? Why are all your friends talking about their high cholesterol? The next time you go to your medical doctor, bring these things up. Bring the book up. Study it yourself and use your common sense. Get your LDLs tested, your HDLs tested, and most importantly, and I'll close it off with this, your C-reactive protein, your CRP. Cat Richard Paul. C-reactive protein. That's a protein that the liver makes when the system systemically is under stress. And when that number is not low, when it's a little higher than it's supposed to be, or when it's absolutely abnormal, it's very suggestive of vascular buildup, inflammation evolving in the vascular system. It's not really your LDLs. When your cholesterol's normal and your CRP is low, 99% of the time, you're not going to have a problem. When your cholesterol's high, but your triglycerides are normal, I personally wouldn't worry. But do this under the supervision of your doctor, of your cardiologist. Because they understand you, because they're your doctor. But bring this to them in a loving, devotional way. And if you succeed at creating a relationship, bringing information to honest doctors, you're going to take your health to another level. God bless you, Dr. Vincent Medici. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. And the best part? You can call in live with your health questions every week. For those of you still holding for Dr. Medici, stay on hold. He'll continue to answer calls for as long as it takes. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. And remember, to contact his office for an appointment, call Rachel or Johanna at 310-320-1132. That's 310-320-1132. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.